You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Gaza health officials say over 40 Palestinians were killed in the latest Israeli strikes, including 16 women and 10 children. Meanwhile, Hamas says it has fired nearly 3,000 rockets into Israel. The Biden administration calling for swift de-escalation. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the military campaign will continue in full force for as long as necessary.
Thousands of rockets and missiles on our cities, and I think any country has to defend itself. It has a natural right of self-defense.
In Israel today, southern cities saw heavy rocket fire. A synagogue that was preparing for Shavuot was hit with a rocket. And I want to stay with you here, Arthel. We are getting some rocket fire in right now. And you can see Israel's defense system behind me, the Iron Dome, working right now to try to intercept those rockets.
May 18th, 2021, and yes, the battle continues between Hamas and Israel. Hamas, a terrorist organization, basing itself right now out of Gaza, Palestinian territory, purposely hiding weapons and commanders and command posts inside civilian areas, knowing that if Israel retaliates, which it is, it's going to end up killing civilians, those who are not involved other than being caught in the middle. And, of course, it becomes a great propaganda victory for Hamas. They are warring against their fellow Palestinians. They are subjecting them, as cannon fodder, basically. We don't care if our own citizens are killed as these Israeli attacks come back at us. So be it. Israel's been using precision efforts everywhere it can to target specific buildings, specific locations known to be military targets. But again, often they are inside civilian areas because terrorists like Hamas, all the terrorists, like to hide like little cowards behind the skirts of women and behind little children. That's what they're doing. Make no mistake about it. Don't listen and buy the story that Israel doesn't care about civilian casualties. Hamas, on the other side, firing indiscriminately. They don't care what they hit. They're hitting anything that stands in Israel, be it a school, a hospital facility. They don't care. And they're using rockets supplied by Iran, which this Biden administration wants to renegotiate talks, restart talks on the nuclear deal that Trump tore up. We're going to get into that in more detail over the next 2 hours. Also, the critical race theory, and in more detail, how parents are fighting back, and in some cases, they're facing jeopardy because they dare stand up. SCOTUS agrees to hear an abortion case. Mississippi, a 15-week ban on abortion, that a fetus could be viable at 15 weeks outside the womb at that age. And, of course, we also have various heartbeat bills. Some say this Mississippi case could be the case that kills the 1973 Roe v. Wade case, will it? We'll get into that. Sarah Perry, Heritage Institute for Constitutional Government, joins us. Mask, CDC guidance. Is it clear to you now or clear as mud what to do? And also a liberal progressive host admits she's been judging you. She's been judging you by your decision to wear or not wear a mask. And now she has to, as she says, I had to rewire myself. Same time, President Biden is saying you should not be critical of those who are not wearing masks. No, he says don't be critical of those who are wearing masks. And Fauci admitting, yeah, I did some of it just for show and theater, in wearing a mask. You know, it might have been good for VP Harris to kiss her husband with both of them wearing a mask. Maybe that was good for both of them. I want to thank Frank Van Brie for filling in for me yesterday. Not easy to do this show. Marine Colonel Jack Jackson has done it previously. He's admitted it's not easy. But, of course, special thanks always go to my director, Quentin, who gets credit for not only helping them through every hour, but me as well. We got a great 2 hours lined up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One group of parents in Loudoun County, Virginia, right outside Washington, is fighting back against all of this, against a curriculum that teaches their kids to hate their country and to judge their classmates based on how they look, on their skin color. Several parents had the courage to say this publicly a few days ago at a school board meeting. Watch.
CRT is not an honest dialogue. It is a tactic that was used by Hitler and the Ku Klux Klan on slavery very many years ago to dumb down my ancestors so we could not think for ourselves. CRT is racist. It is abusive. It discriminates against one's color. Let me educate you. An honest dialogue does not oppress. An honest dialogue does not implement hatred or injustice. It's to communicate with without deceiving people. Today, we don't need your agreement. We want action and a backbone for what we ask for today, to ban CRT. I had to come down here today to tell you to your face that we are coming together and we are strong. This will not be the last. Greet and meet respectfully.
Respectfully. That was a clip from Tucker Carlson and airing a soundbite from a parent school board meeting, as you heard him say, in Utah. As that woman, Chantel Cooper, I should say, fought back against critical race theory. She's a black woman and says, what you're doing here is contrary to everything Martin Luther King stood for. And we're going to hear from her in more detail in a moment. There's a lot of confusion by some folks over critical race theory. What exactly is CRT? And, of course, it depends upon the source you're reading, the source you're following, as to which story you get. I'm going to try to give you an understanding of both arguments. I have an opinion. I clearly have an opinion, and you probably could guess my opinion. But again, I have a 50 plus years as a journalist in the electronic field. I still have that fabric that says, let's be fair and make sure everyone understands what's involved. Of course, if you're so jaded one side or the other, you either decide I'm not being fair or I'm being too fair to someone that I should not be fair to. I can't help your perception. All I can do is give you my opinion and the facts. So what we had, let's break it down. It's confusing on so many different levels. Again, if you read something from CNN, you're going to find critical race theory is not what they're trying to make you think it is. It's not the boogeyman waiting to grab your kids and change the world. If you listen to the other side, the hell it's not. But let's deal with what's going on with Utah. The governor, Spencer Cox, is holding and calling his legislature into a special session set for Wednesday. That's tomorrow. But he's decided to pass. You know what? I say that's tomorrow. I want to double check the date on this because I'm pulling up something. I want to make sure that I gave you the correct date. I think it is. It definitely appears to be from a previous. It appears that it is for tomorrow. Let me double check that because there's sometimes stories pop up on a page for me and it's not clear to me because the dates aren't included when I copy it off. Again, I'm looking here, their general special election. This special election is what I'm trying to find out here. I will admit to you, I just want to make sure I have it right. The way it came down to me that it is the one coming up tomorrow. Yes, and it is set for Wednesday. I found a piece that clarifies that. I have to forgive me. I'm just trying to make sure I have the facts in front of me, that I'm giving it to you correctly. Well, there have been obviously a push from Utah Republicans based not only on that parent's complaints, but other parents' complaints. We don't want critical race theory taught in our schools. So the governor could pursue that as one of the issues of that special session. They're looking at also the Second Amendment sanctuary issue, which is going to be in front of them. And now I see that they've also added they might consider a school mask prohibition in special session. That source, U.S. News, and it comes 23 hours ago. But Republicans are banning or wanting to ban critical race theory from schools across the nation, and it's going to be step by step. In Idaho, the law does prohibit public schools, including public universities, from including any teachings that, quote, say any sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, or national origin is inherently superior or inferior. I would agree with that. I've said that repeatedly. If you think because the color of your skin, you're better than someone else that has a darker skin than you or a totally different skin than you, or the other way around. If your skin is as black as this microphone and you see anyone of this skin color and you consider they're inferior to you, you're also a racist. Can't judge people that way. Too many still do. And we're never going to get out of it if we continue to pass around this critical race theory as a teaching. So Idaho apparently banning critical race theory. What is Utah going to do? Are they actually even going to get a part of the discussion? The American Bar Association recognizing, quote, race is not biologically real, but is socially constructed and socially significant. The Bar Association recognizing that racism is a normal feature of society and is embedded within systems and institutions, like the legal system, that replicates racial inequity. This dismisses the idea that racist incidents are aberrations, but instead are manifestations of structural and systemic racism. I could have cut it all to that point. The American Bar Association believes we do have a nation of systemic racism. I was reading a piece earlier today by DeRoy Murdoch, a columnist, commentator out of New York, a black man who's also speaking out against it, and he says, critical race theory is nothing more than another push for us to stay divided, to be divided, not bringing us together. Republican candidates across the nation are using critical race theory as a talking point. I'm reading a piece here that says, in an appeal to cultural conservatives, it's an appeal to anyone that believes in fairness. It should be. Virginia Republican governor nominee Youngkin vowing to expel that academic movement from schools. The Ohio GOP Senate candidate took it on as part of a statewide listening tour. Florida Governor DeSantis, Republican. South Dakota Governor Noem, Republican. Both potential presidential candidates in 24 have also knocked critical race theory. Republicans say all of this will help galvanize the cultural conservative base in upcoming elections. It probably will, in the sense that if many people, even some on the left, are not sold on pushing critical race theory as a class for kids, much less into the universities, because it wants to base everything upon color. So let's go back to some comments from Shawtell Cooper, the parent you heard a moment ago addressing her school board. She later appeared on Tucker Carlson, and the basic question he asked is, why are you opposed to this?
Well, it contradicts everything that Martin Luther King fought for. It's hatred, Marxist ideology, and it places the child in a loophole of oppression, making them feel as a victim. I can't stand for that. You cannot further brotherhood of a man by encouraging class hatred. Our Constitution is what unites us, not the color of our skin.
Yes.
So America, it's just time for us to stand up for one another.
For one another. She didn't say stand up for this color or that color, or that gender or that gender, or that sexual preference or that. Just stand up for one another. Don't accept anything that's going to be working to divide us. There is, of course, as a result of that, many so-called diversity training sessions coming in. We had a member of our space team that penned a book about critical race theory, a Space Force officer. And the word came out that he has lost his leadership position because he denounced critical race theory and did the same thing you just heard that parent Tucker say, again, a black woman, saying that it's linked to Marxism. So what they have done is this space officer, Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer, commander of the 11th Space Warning Squadron at Buckley Air Force Base in Colorado, relieved from his post last week. And because, he said, the commander says, I lost confidence in his ability to lead. And it was based on the comments Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer had made on a recent podcast. Now, the Space Force spokesman issued this statement. Lieutenant General Whiting has initiated a command-directed investigation on whether these comments constituted prohibited partisan political activity. Service members are prohibited from engaging in, quote, partisan political activity, but they're allowed to express their personal opinions or matters when not in uniform. If it's a podcast, how the hell would you know? Now, if they identify him as a space commander with the title that I gave him a moment ago, well, then I guess that's going to be valid grounds enough. Lohmeyer appeared on this podcast, Information Operation, last week. He was publicizing a new book he wrote. And in that book, he did criticize the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's diversity and inclusion agenda. Are you aware they're doing all of that in the military? We talked about it previously. They want to shake things up all the way through the military. That was from General Austin doing that. There is now a memo that got released just this week by the acting Secretary of the Navy, Thomas Harker, who once again in his outline to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion in the Navy. All of that should be there. There should be no exclusion based on any of those points. If you want to put it down in writing and reinforce it, you shouldn't have to, but if they do, so be it. But what they're also using it as a weapon, against others who stand up and say, I don't accept what you're trying to do. You're trying to shove everyone in a particular direction. Again, the comments by the black columnist I was referring to a moment ago, Leroy Ducker, is clear that race is not the issue, it's control. And the space commander being relieved said, I don't demonize the man, I just want to make it clear that this kind of stuff does not unify us, it divides us. You agree? I do. But of course, it's not going to go away overnight. I want to share a couple more points on that before we get into the other issue that some folks are now having to battle with, and that is with this new CDC guidance. What are you going to do about a mask? We'll get into that later. But also, is Roe v. Wade going to be destroyed in weeks? Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So some additional thoughts on critical race theory. As I said, we have not spent a lot of time on it, but in part because some folks just think, well, it's not really going to affect me or my children or anything else. I think you need to reconsider that. Back in... This piece just came out yesterday. I just found it. This by Jordan Davidson, writing for The Federalist, which is a conservative publication, pointing about the 1776 commission that President Donald Trump created to promote patriotic education. They're now using that same group now in a letter sent to the Department of Education earlier this week, explaining that the Biden's proposed rule and trying to push critical race education should be withdrawn because it's really misleading and is actually anti-racist. Using federal dollars to fund teaching of racial discrimination in America's elementary and secondary schools. That's part of the critical race theory as it's being pushed now. I have another piece I want to share with you because when you start looking at this, there are numerous sources you could go, numerous reactions, and you have to keep in mind, many are of the belief, you may or may not be, that everything the Biden administration is doing, even though he may not be directly involved, and we have to ask who is pulling the strings, the so-called American Families Plan they're pushing, all of that is anti-family at its core. But I want to share with you some comments from a black minister, a Christian, who is saying this critical race theory and how it's basically trying to silence black voices like his. He said, as a Christian minister, I'm used to being stifled when I talk about my religion outside my church. If I bring up faith in Jesus Christ, guardians of the secular public square, quick to inform me, religion's strictly a private matter. He says, these days I'm stifled not because of the religion I practice, but because of the one I reject, and that is a religion of anti-racism, which is now the established church of academia, government, the media, and business. One dogma of this new religion is that America needs to have a conversation about race. He adds, but Americans have been talking about race since at least the 1860s. Nobody is trying to avoid talking about race, but many are now trying to control what is said. He said, the elites want you to believe that society needs to elevate black voices, but it's important to understand what they mean. They don't want to elevate all black voices, but only those who subscribe to the creed of critical race theory. This is Dr. Vodi Bacham. As he said, a Christian minister, pastor, educator, author. He said that what they're doing now, he said, if you don't avow that society is infected with systemic racism and that white supremacy, white privilege, white frailty or fragility are the root of all the problems black people face, then you're heretic. You're heretic. Your consciousness is white, therefore oppressive, no matter how black your skin may be. He said, I'm a descendant of slaves. I suffered from international racism. But anti-racists would tell you that I'm not really black. I suffer from internalized racism. They insist I'm trying to, quote, curry favor with white people. So they dismiss me. Another black nonconformist, sellouts, traitors, Uncle Tom, who are skin folk but not kin folk. He said, look at the slurs. They've thrown at Senator Tim Scott since he gave the Republican response to Joe Biden's State of the Union address. He said, look at conservative black thinkers like Thomas Sowell, Carol Swain, Shelby Steele, John McWhorter, the late Walter Williams. There is no rational debate in the church of anti-racism, for it demands a blind faith, and it is punitive, for it is a religion without grace. So again says in the New York Post article today, Dr. Vodi Bacham Jr. All right, coming up in the next hour, Roe v. Wade, could it be destroyed? Stand by.
Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, Rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The U.S. Supreme Court agreeing to hear a challenge to Mississippi's 15-week ban on abortion. Now, this case, some are saying, especially now, which will be the first abortion case heard by Justice Amy Coney Barrett, a Catholic conservative, nominated, of course, by then-President Trump back in 2020, some are saying this could be the case that kills the 73 landmark Roe v. Wade ruling. Let's get a better perspective on exactly what the case is and where we're going from here. Sarah Perry, a legal fellow with the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, the Institute for Constitutional Government and Heritage. Sarah, glad to have you on board. Glad to have you.
Thanks for having me today.
So, first of all, in your first blush of looking at this and the description I gave about the Mississippi 15-week ban on abortion. Is that in your mind, since it's going to be Amy Coney Barrett's first time to hear an abortion case in full, does it have the ability and the possibility that this case kills Roe v. Wade?
It certainly does. I think that based on the composition of the court now, with Justice Barrett sitting in for Justice Ginsburg, who, as you know, was a staunch supporter of abortion rights, and the fact that we now have three Trump-appointed justices will be hearing this together, the possibility exists of a 6-3 supermajority for conservatives to overrule or to severely limit the application of Roe. Now, some critics have claimed that this was essentially, Mississippi's Gestational Age Act was essentially a vehicle to shop a case to overrule Roe versus Wade. Whether or not that is the case, it is sort of hard to imagine a more factually aligned and more issue-aligned case than the one presented coming out of Mississippi, which is, are bans on abortion past 15 weeks on their face unconstitutional? So that's a big question. Three questions were raised by the state of Mississippi on appeal to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court only took up one of those, related to bans post 15 weeks. So this really is going to portend very big outcomes, whether positively or negatively, for the future of abortion jurisprudence in America.
Well, let's get a full, clear understanding on this. Now, first of all, this is different than heartbeat bills we've seen in other states, correct?
It is indeed. And heartbeat bills that we're seeing coming out of these states are precisely representative of what government at the state level is designed to do. And quite frankly, what the Supreme Court should have done with Roe versus Wade, which is to say, this isn't a issue. This isn't an issue for us. It's relegated to the states. It is important to go through the legislative process to allow citizens to vote and debate and to filibuster. And as Scalia said in a later Supreme Court case, we never should have involved ourselves in abortion. So heartbeat bills at the state level are the state's way of protecting, as they ought, the unborn life of a child at which a fetal heartbeat is detected. Now, those laws stand at the state level as written and ratified unless there's a legal challenge that's brought against them. If, however, the Supreme Court overrules or severely limits Roe, we'll see very few challenges to abortion restrictions in the future.
All right. There's so many different roads to go down, but I still want to clarify one other thing. Now, we are talking about the Mississippi rule is a 15-week ban on abortion. In other words, the issue being, is a fetus viable outside the womb after 15 weeks? Now, let's just deal with that one question. Regardless of legality beyond that or anything else, a fetus being viable outside the womb after 15 weeks, I think that's been pretty well documented. Yes, preemies, and yes, maybe, but not that life that might be sustained that it won't be able to sustain. Correct me if I'm wrong, and then restate the fact.
Sure. So Planned Parenthood versus Casey back in 1992 established a pre-viability and a post-viability separation. So in other words, anything past 20 weeks, approximately, anywhere between 20 and 24 weeks, the Supreme Court held those types of bans unconstitutional. However, bans prior to 20 weeks, which are before at that time the science indicated viability could occur, is now sort of, it's in the evolving atmosphere of the science on the issue. Now, we know fetal heartbeats can be detected at 12 weeks. Pain is experienced by the unborn child anywhere between 12 and 15 weeks. There are things we know now about development that we didn't know in 1973 or in 1992 that we know now in 2021. So the arguments in this particular case are going to be very interesting, because while we're looking at viability, we're really looking at gestational age as a function of what the science tells us about the rights of that unborn child.
Well, now, here's, you just raised a phrase that is often thrown in the face of conservatives, believe the science, believe the science.
Right.
Now, my belief has been, all right, you want to believe the science. If you detect a heartbeat, it's not just a tissue like, you know, your gallbladder, or something of that nature, although you could still detect the heartbeat through that as well. But if you detect a heartbeat, you obviously have another living being in the womb, be
Absolutely.
It at 12 weeks or 11 weeks or 15 weeks, whenever. The only problem is
Absolutely.
This falls within the general belief that a woman has an absolute right to an abortion in the first 3 months. So you're talking about 3 times 4, generally 12 weeks. And then you get into an argument of the second trimester of pregnancy.
Right.
And science has changed dramatically since Roe v. Wade originally in 73.
Absolutely. And what we know now that we were able to accomplish through the use of ultrasound technology and fetal surgery has given us so much more insight than we had back in 1973 when Justice Blackmun wrote the Roe versus Wade decision. This is going to present a real opportunity for cohesive rationale on science. Do we believe it? Do we follow it? Do we interpret it correctly? Or do we only pay attention to it when it is politically convenient for us? So I am hopeful that the good attorneys who are representing the state of Mississippi will bring to the court, once this is heard in the fall term, a wealth of evidence about the personhood of the unborn between anything from detection of pain to fetal heartbeats to stages of development, because I think that's going to play very largely.
And you have to set that against the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So how is that to be rectified?
Well, Justice Blackmun decided he was going to essentially create a right to abortion based on a right to privacy, based on a right to due process. So if you can follow the bouncing ball on that, that's why a lot of people find Roe versus Wade to be really a legal stretch and a badly authored piece of precedent, because no one who takes the opinion seriously can say it definitely exists in the Constitution. So he used something called the penumbra of the Constitution. In other words, we imply that it was there, even though we can't find it there, when the better approach would have just been to say, this is a state's rights issue. Due process will come into place when we see this case taken up at the Supreme Court level. And the arguments will obviously be from Jackson Women's Health Organization and the Center for Reproductive Services. They will be arguing that to deny a woman the right to an abortion after 15 weeks is a denial of her due process rights,
which would be the 14th Amendment. Yes.
Yeah. You got it. And so what we do is we pull on that thread of due process, and that takes us back to Roe. Is there in the Constitution a right, even through assignment or inferment, is there a right to an abortion? And I would argue no.
Well, there's still another part, and I don't have time to get into it in great detail. You're listening to Sarah Perry with Heritage Foundation. Another part of it is the 14th Amendment, and you know, protecting the person's right to make their decision, but then the states also had the right. So what if some states say, you have to meet these criteria? We already saw that last year the court struck down, Supreme Court, a Louisiana law requiring doctors who perform abortions have admitting privileges nearby hospitals, and that's supposedly for care of women. Some say it's just a way to get around abortion. The bottom line essence I'm trying to get to here is, can we have both? Can we have a modified Roe v. Wade, and it exists in certain states, but it doesn't exist in others? And it would be a state's rights all over again.
Well, the perfect outcome, and I'm using air quotes here, the ideal outcome is truly that the Supreme Court kicks this back to the states. We have 22 to 24 states currently that have various restrictions on abortion in one aspect or another, whether that's admitting privileges at hospitals, whether or not those are gestational time limits. But again, as this should have been from the outset, a state's rights issue, the Supreme Court has the perfect opportunity to say, listen, this is how federalism works. This is how state governments go through the process of debating issues closest to their citizenry. This is a state's issue. You mentioned Russo versus June Medical Services from last summer. Very interesting, because the standard applied is the undue burden standard. In other words, if it's an undue burden, if your restriction on abortion is an undue burden on a woman's right to get an abortion, well, we find that to be a violation of due process under the 14th Amendment.
All right, Sarah, we're going to have to end it there. I'm going to have to end it. We will be back in touch with you and other your colleagues as we move forward with this decision, or this ruling, or as the court hears it.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you. Sarah Perry, Heritage Foundation.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, President Biden is on the move today. He's in Michigan pitching a massive $4 trillion tax and spin plan while he's there at that Michigan Ford factory. And they introduced the electric Ford F-150 at the Biden event. Of course, they're going to introduce it then. And, of course, the Biden administration in whole is saying, we've got to do something about climate change, because after all, Vice President Harris has already declared the reason we're having so many immigrants, illegals coming to our country from Mexico, the Northern Triangle, Venezuela, and anywhere else is because of climate issues. Remember? Yes, that's VP Harris, Kamala Harris, who is yet to hold a news conference at any point on really what she's doing. This is 55 days without a news conference since Biden gave her that assignment. You know she didn't want it. She didn't want it. She didn't want anything to do with it. And she's being told, even by your fellow Democrats, you need to get down to the border to see what's going on. Not going to, she said. I'm dealing with it in the proper way. I'm talking to the leaders of the countries. Well, if that's true, I wonder what the take is going to be from the Biden administration, because the LA Times is reporting the Mexican government is, quote, planning to open 17 new camps in coming weeks and months in southern states of Mexico to accommodate migrant families and kids. Now, it's not clear if the camps are going to be used to house migrants who've been denied entry at our U.S. border, or they're going to be used for migrants caught crossing Mexico's southern border. Currently, Mexico can't house and feed those migrants, so they just try to push them on through to us. But if you recall, we had a Title 42 health protocol in place, because a lot of these coming across, they're not even being checked to see if they have any health issues, much less COVID. And even if they are found to have COVID, as 10% plus are found on a regular basis, we don't do anything about it. We don't detain them. We don't quarantine them. We just tell them when you get wherever you're going, you should be quarantined for a period of time. Well, Title 42 was used by the Trump administration. It's been in place by the Biden administration, but they've not really been enforcing it. Now, just last week, Politico reported that the Democrats and immigration advocates are now accusing the Biden-Harris administration of using Title IV to limit immigration, not protect the country against coronavirus. And yes, the Biden administration has been doing that as well. They've been trying to walk the fence line. They realize they've got an issue down there. They don't want to call it a crisis. They refuse to call it. And in fact, sometimes when you get Mayorkas, the head of Health and Human Services, goes down there, not Health and Human Services, but Homeland Security, when he goes down there and takes a look and says, well, things are under control, and then he later has to admit, yeah, they're worse than what we thought, and then they'll say, well, we don't have kids where we did before. You go and look, and you won't see them. And that's true, you don't, because they're playing a shell game. They're moving them elsewhere. Now, if Mexico is going to do that, and if the other thing that Biden did on day one, he decides to reverse and go back to the Trump policy of stay in Mexico until we decide if you're truly an asylum seeker, not just someone trying to come here because you want to live in the USA. If they do that, the progressives are going to go absolutely hair on fire. So you see already the Democrats, many on the far, far left, the real progressives, they're not happy that the Biden administration has in fact not really put a total end to Title 42. But also at the same time, it's going to be even worse if they decide to go back to stay in Mexico. I'd like to ask Vice President Kamala Harris what she thinks about these things. Wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't that be a good idea to simply ask, because she has been given this position by the president 55 days, and she still will not answer direct questions. Some of her detractors, and they include Democrats, say she is more concerned, and this should come as no surprise, my friend. She is more concerned about protecting her political future than doing anything on this top project. 55 days, has not visited the border region, not held a news conference, ever since President Biden appointed her manager of the federal response to the, whatever they want to call it, not a crisis. They are totally lost. And it's going to come back to bite them. In the next hour, Israel defending itself.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.